And one person whose autobiography I was reading the other day was Lila or Lilla McCarthy, is it?
Oh, yes, but I never knew her well. But of course, she married a professor of botany at Oxford.
That's right, yes.
But I've often seen her act.
Have you? Yes.
Time and again, because she was Granville Barker's leading lady.
Yes, yes. She was an active suffragette, wasn't she?
I didn't remember that.
I think she was in the WSPU.
She might well have been.
I think so. She was certainly in the Actresses Franchise League, you know, the
Well, actresses, I think the Actresses thing. Franchise League was ours.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry about that.
I rather think. And they formed a beautiful contingent in our procession.
Did they? Yes. In the 1911.
Well, I forget, we had so many processions and they were so good.
Yes.
And the sort of processions people have nowadays are ragbags compared with ours.
Yes, yes.
But then we had Pippa Strachey to organise them.
Yes, how did you organise the procession? I mean, what was involved, really?
Well, you had to make arrangements with the police.
And make sure people coordinated as well.
Yes, and you had to tell the police where you were going to assemble and where you were going. And one of the early ones, we had rather difficulty in Trafalgar Square because the crowd sort of bore in on us and the police had to get us through. But generally that didn't happen. Our processions were such fun to look at. They were so beautiful. Mm. And as for all the academic ladies in their robes, I can remember now seeing them going down, looking down St. James's Street. These beautiful colours.
Yes, with the hoods.
All the doctors, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes. So, I mean, Pippa was the main person. She was the
great organiser.
She was the Mrs. Drummond of the NUWSS.
Yes.
General Drummond.
Except that General Drummond was very prominent and Pippa Strachey was never seen.
I see. She was just behind the scenes.
She was just behind.
Yes, I see. I think you had to have quite a nerve, actually, to do that. I mean, it must have been very worrying, you know, whether something would go wrong at the last moment or...
I think it must have been, and sometimes... At one occasion in Trafalgar Square when we got rather crushed. How have we got through?
Yes, but the police were... You really are good for a game. the police were... The sort of joking relationship, I suppose, established with the police.
Oh, Pippa Strachey was always on very good terms with the police.
Was she? Yes. Yes, that was one of the things that comes out. I went to the Public Record Office to look at the documents arising from the pilgrimage about the violence and so on. And it's quite tremendous courtesy on the part of the NUWSS in its dealings with the police on this question. I mean, tremendous.
Yes, because of course the other people gave an awful lot of trouble to the police.
Yes, yes. In fact, the main person corresponding on that was Catherine Marshall, I think.
She was very good, yes.
Yes. Did you?
She lived up in the Lake District.
Yes, that's right. She's a Cumberland. Mm. Did you see anything of her? I mean, she was
not
active.
Very much, but I of course met her and knew her.
Did you? Yes. What sort of person was she? Actually, she was fairly young, I suppose, wasn't she at that time?
She was, I think, older than I was.
Was she?
Most of them were. You see, I started very young.
Hmm. But I haven't, again, I haven't got a picture of her. She was a parliamentary secretary before Eva Hubbard.
She was, yes, but nothing like the competence of Eva Hubbard and Ray Strachey as parliamentary secretaries. They were in very good terms with the civil service. They knew what was coming beforehand.
Yes.
And, of course, Eleanor was a very practiced hand.
Yes.
So was Mrs. Fawcett, after all. She'd been in politics since the days of John Stuart Mill.
Yes, yes.
It was very skillfully handled.
But what was involved in being a parliamentary secretary, really? I mean, what sort of things?
Well, knowing exactly what was going to happen. And, of course, there was much more to it after we got that partial vote.
Yes.
Because of all these other things we were doing.
Yes.
Equal guardianship and God knows what.
And presumably you had to know your men. I mean, you had to know the
MPs. You had to know
your
men. You had to know the rights of the civil servants to go to. And
yes.
And you had to be very careful if a bill was being drafted. To be in on the drafting, because when once a bill is drafted, people...
Yes, that's one of Eleanor Rathbone's main
things. One of Eleanor Rathbone's.
But why was Eva so good? What sort of qualities did she have, really?
Well, she was very able. She lost her husband in the war. She had three children that she brought up. She was very attractive, I think, to men.
Rather important, I suppose.
Yes, but I mean they liked working with her, you see.
Yes, yes.
She died much too young.
Yes.
When she was head of Morley College during the war.
Yes.
Her son David will tell you all about her.
I'd rather like to.
He lives in the Hubbock household.
Does he? Yes.
And her daughter Diana wrote a book about her.
Oh, did she? I must make a note of that because I didn't know about that. It's Diana Hubbock, is it?
Yes. What Diana Hubbock did? No, she's now known as Diana Johnson.
Oh yes.
But because she married.
I see.
But what I think she never knew was that her mother's marriage to her father was unhappy.
Is that so? I see. Who was her father, actually?
He was a lecturer in Manchester.
Oh, yes.
And Eva Hummock was a very great friend of Sheena Simon at Newnham.
Yes.
And Sheena used to invite her up to Manchester. And it was there that she got engaged to Hummock, who was a lecturer.
Mm.
But if you read my Life of Ernest Simon.
Yes, I haven't read that. Actually, it's the one book of yours I haven't read.
It's the best book I ever wrote.
I've got it, actually.
Yes.
I haven't just
well,
haven't read it
Well, if you read it, you'll find out about Eva Hubbock.
Oh, well, I'll look at it for that.
And Sheena Simon.
Yes. Anyway, to be able to get on with MPs, to know them,
yes.
These are important qualities, to be good at sort of paperwork.
And she was very intelligent.
Yes, I see. And she worked very well with with Eleanor Rathbone, did she?
Oh,
they got on well together.
Oh, they're great friends. We used to go for holidays together. We used to
yes.
go for sort of foursome holidays.
Did you really? Yes. So, I mean, really when you look at what happened after 1918, as far as women's position is concerned, they made tremendous progress up till 1928 or so, and then it tails off rather, doesn't it?
1928?
I mean, after...
You see, when we got the full vote
yes.
from Mr. Baldwin.
Yes.
After very cleverly getting him pledged.
Yes, in 1934 or
And he couldn't get out of it, poor
yes.
man.
Yes. Did you actually attend the unveiling of Mrs. Pankhurst's statue?
I did, by Mr. Baldwin.
Yes, what happened on that occasion? I mean, have you got any
well,
recollection?
Well, it was a rather nice gathering, and he said she set the heather on a light when it was dry. It's a bad statue. It's not like Mrs. Pankhurst.
No, it's not fiery enough. Right?
Oh, no. If Epstein had done that statue, it would have given some impression of her.
Mm.
Because she was never a sort of appealing.
Mm.
She was elegant and dignified.
Yes.
But always the fanaticism crackled.
Yes. What was the atmosphere at that gathering? I presume there were all sorts of women.
Oh, very quiet.
People, was it? Yes. I mean, presumably a lot of people who disagreed violently.
I suppose, possibly.
Mm. I must read Baldwin's speech. I haven't actually read the
I
newspaper.
I think that's when he said she set the heather alight.
Yes. But then, later on, Christabel got
they
her...
They added Christabel's name to it.
Did they?
Yes.
Because she got her DBE in 1936, didn't she, I think?
Yes, and she stood for Parliament in 1918.
Yes. But I wondered...
A fanatic, always.
Yes, I don't care for her at all, actually.
No.
But one other person who you've met who I'm very interested in is Violet Markham.
Oh, yes, I knew her very well indeed.
I've read her autobiography, actually,
yes.
which is a rather good book, I think.
She was an amazing woman.
Yes.
She had the richest mind of anybody I ever knew except Walter Elliot.
Well, why on earth should a woman like that be an auntie, then?
She wasn't an auntie. Except at the beginning, when she took the view that Mrs. Webb did, that she had enough influence as it was.
Mm.
And then I think somebody pointed out to her, that's all very well, but most people haven't.
Mm. Yes.
And she was in other ways an absolutely first-rate feminist.
Yes, well, absolutely. She was active in local government. She was a mayor, wasn't she, in fact?
Oh, yes, she was mayor of Chesterfield.
Yes.
And she was quite different from all the others because there was a sort of conviviality about her.
Yes.
Yes. And I've seen her when she and I did an investigation into the women in the forces. She was wonderful to work with. And I mean, you saw her in an officers or Air Force mess, and she could enjoy a bawdy story with the best of them. And then at the end, I used to go and stay with her in her house in Wittersham.
Oh, yes.
Which is now, I think, occupied by one of her nephews or nieces.
She was very rich, wasn't she?
She was very rich, but then you see the Markhams, a very rich family there, owned coal mines in Chesterfield, and she ran a settlement in Chesterfield.
Yes, yes. So, she, in a sense, the system gives her all she wants, and so there's no need to change it. But
she was very... Then you see her marriage made a great difference to her.
Yes.
Because she was very much a public woman at first. In fact, she was assistant chairman of the Public Assistance Board at a time when Beveridge was running the insurance side of the Act. And she did all the work. Her chairman, Lord Salisbury, I think it was, didn't do any work. Violet did all the work. I always thought of Violet Markham as a rather solemn social worker, until I met her on the Manchester racecourse, covered with diamonds, and running a horse of her own. And then what happened was that she fell in love. I mean, she really did fall in love with an officer under Colonel Carruthers, who was, I think, somewhat younger than she was. And she sort of felt she ought to embrace some of his interests. And his main interest was racing. So she took up racing.
The impression you get from the autobiography is that she got on very well with her husband, but she doesn't say much about
him. She adored him.
Yes.
And after she died, I mean, whenever we went around anywhere, his photograph was by her bed. She absolutely adored him.
I see, yes.
And he was a real old race meeting colonel.
Yes. Was he really? Extraordinary.
He was in the Gunners.
Yes.
And my cousin knew him. He was known as Caruso.
What was his... how did he earn his living, actually? What did he do?
Well, I think he earned his living in the end by marrying Violet. But
I see, yes.
He earned his living as a gunner would.
Yes.
On his military pay.
I see, yes.
Not very much.
Yes. He died around about 1936, I think, didn't he?
I think it was a bit later.
Yes. Anyway, she's quite obviously a formidable character.
She was a very formidable character.
Yes.
Very attractive, because she knew so much.
Yes.
I mean, she got awfully blind at the end of her life.
Did she?
And she lived in this large house at Wittersham with two round ends. And she kept large dogs that she couldn't manage at all.
That's right. There are photographs of them in the book.
Yes. And... you could talk to her endlessly about literature. You see, she was an expert pianist.
Was she really incredible?
She wrote a very good book on Romanesque architecture.
And also a good administrator and public woman.
Mm. And you really didn't need an Oxford Dictionary of Quotations.
Mm.
Because she read so much.
Mm. Extraordinary. She was a good speaker also, was she?
I can't remember hearing her speak in public. I can only remember her hearing her talk to officers and ATS and VAD and those sort of people in the course of our inquiries into women in the services.
Yes.
But she got on well with everybody. You see, the first committee on women in the services was a sort of full committee.
Mm.
And she was chairman of it and wrote an extremely good report. She really did write the report of the committee. She didn't leave it to the civil servant, which is so often done. And I remember one phrase of it. Virtue has no gossip value.
Yes.
She was loved by the committee, or most members of it, anyway. Lady Elliot was one, and I was one.
Mm.
Edith Summerskill was one, but she never did any work.
Mm.
But and then the secretary of it was a civil service called Mrs. something beginning with G, but Violet always referred to her as Mrs. G.
Mm.
But the other one was that member of Parliament who's still alive but very blind. Thelma Cazalet.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we used to go on meeting long after the committee had finished its work. We used to go on meeting and having sort of convivial dinner.
It sounds rather like any questions, except you have the dinner beforehand rather than...
Yes, well, we went on meeting. And then poor Violet got awfully blind and had to rely on talking books.
Did she?
But there was no loss of anything to talk about.
No, no. No, she seems to have been really quite an impressive
She was very
person.
Impressive.
Yes. But it is in some ways surprising that such a person shouldn't have been active in the NUWSS, for instance. I mean,
yes,
if
was.
Not the WSPU,
yes.
at least...
Well, she was very busy, you see, with other things at the time. She was running this settlement in Chesterfield.
Yes. What another person, of course, who you saw in later life was Emmeline Pethick Lawrence, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you showed me last time I came the
I
review.
I showed you that letter.
The letter about the review.
But the thing was... I saw much more of his second wife.
Yes, you mentioned that you wrote to him, you weren't offended by the fact that he married again.
No, I was pleased that he married.
Yes, quite right.
And I think some people who have thought of living with so great a woman as Emmeline, she oughtn't to have been supplanted.
Yes.
But I wrote to him and said how glad I was that he was married.
Yes.
And
yes.
he wrote back.
Did you ever meet Emmeline yourself? I mean...
Oh, yes, well, I did. I met her on suffrage occasions.
Did you?
But they started, you see. They were. That was rather well done, I think, in the film, the pulling in of the Pethick Lawrences.
Yes.
Who had lots and lots of money.
Yes.
Though much of it Pethick Lawrence spent. Mrs. Pethick Lawrence was a wonderful money raiser.
Yes.
At a meeting.
Yes, she used to have a sort of tote system.
She used to have a sort of tote system.
But, I mean, what do you think of her in retrospect? I mean, because she was almost over-emotional woman, wasn't she?
Yes, I think she was. But she was so virtuous. You see, long before they were hooked by the Pankhursts, they were running the West London Mission and girls' clubs, and they were philanthropists.
What was why wasn't she active in women's activities after 1918? I mean, she
was turfed out by the Pankhursts.
Was she? Oh, in 1912 she was. Yes. But you'd think she would be prominent in the 1920s, for instance, in women's.
Yes, I don't think she was.
She sort of fades out, rather, doesn't she?
She fades out. She was very anxious not to accentuate the fact of the split, because she thought it would do harm to the cause, and it would have. They were intensely virtuous people, both of them. Public-spirited and self-denying.
But completely contrasting one with the other, in the sense that she's a very warm, emotional person, and he's rather withdrawn and cold, isn't he?
But well, he wasn't really, I suppose. But he was the business side of it.
Yes, yes, yes. But anyway, did you actually meet them together... in later life, or was it only Fred that you met later on?
It was only Fred. Mrs. Pethick Lawrence died after, I think Fred had a rather bad time because she'd been failing and difficult. And he'd had rather a miserable time with her. And then it was long before that she wrote her autobiography. And I wrote a review which she said she liked.
Yes.
And you can pinpoint the review because she mentions it.
Yes, in the Manchester Guardian, I think your review was. Yes. What do you think about Eleanor Rathbone's involvement in India in 1928 or thereabouts? I mean, do you think... I would have thought... I mean, my feeling is that the women's movement in England... suffered rather badly by her identification with the...
Well, I think it did, and of course she quarrelled with the Indian leaders. But the thing was, she was temperamentally unfit to deal with these rather emotional people. And rather in the way that Mrs. Fawcett would have been.
Yes.
And she read these awful things about India in that book, Mother India. And she was horrified. Now, the Rathburns were brought up in this Unitarian tradition.
Yes.
And you get it in her life of her father.
Yes.
Anything that can be done should be done. She believed immensely in the power of the individual.
Yes.
To get things done.
Sort of like a nonconformist conscience, in a way, isn't
very
it?
Very much a Unitarian conscience in that case.
Yes, yes.
And she was very, very much influenced by her father. And that was her attitude. And she read about these horrors, and immediately her thought was, well, what can I do about it? Many people would have said, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, I can't do anything about it.
But who succeeded?
So that her first idea was, well, I must go and find out whether this is in fact true.
Mm.
That was always her first idea
mm.
on learning of Valhalla.
Yes.
Is it true?
Mm.
And she took steps and she found that indeed it was.
Mm. Who replaced her as sort of chairwoman of the NUWSS or of the equal citizenship in 1928?
Ah, oh, now you've got me there.
I mean, I get the impression...
I don't know that anybody did, you see, by that time.
I see.
It was all... Maybe it had gone over to birth control and
yes,
women's
spreading
associations
out,
and,
yes.
and whatnot.
Yes, because I get the impression that the whole drive for women's rights and so on tails off after the late 20s, really, and doesn't revive till the 1960s.
Well, then the Women's Lib come in a very foolish way, I think.
Mm. I mean, there's a sort of hiatus, in
yes.
a sense. I don't know quite why it is.
Well, I think we were working out with what we'd got.
Yes. Yes. And also, of course, international questions were so
yes.
uppermost, I suppose.
But meanwhile, of course, when this matter of the mother's pension, mother's
yes.
allowance was raised,
yes.
we all woke up and said, this must not be, it must be paid direct to the mother in her own right.
Yes, yes.
Not by yes. virtue of her husband's wage.
Yes. Two people who I don't know anything about, you may remember, are, first of all, Emma Common. Does that ring
Commons.
A bell? No, Emma Common, actually. She
I don't
wrote
know.
A rather rude letter to Common Cause around about 1918, criticising its policy. I just wondered if you... Rather
I
vigorous
don't remember.
Letter. I think her name was Emma Common. I've written it down here. I just wondered if she was a prominent person in your...
No,
memory.
I can't remember. I've got all the copies of the... Woman's Leader that I edited.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to
edit it.
Does another person who wrote rather strong letters when about the time when you were involved, first involved with the NUWSS Executive Committee,
yeah.
is a woman called O'Shea, Nora O'Shea. She writes several letters.
I don't remember her.
But you don't. It doesn't. Well, I just wondered whether you.
I don't remember
you
her.
Had. But I just wonder, you know, what sort of person she was, but maybe she wasn't active in the movement. One thing where you could help me tremendously, I think, is where to look, what periodicals to look at after 1918 for obituaries and for sort of general information about the women's movement.
1819.
But
Mrs. Bankhurst would have been if they'd dared.
Hmm. I wonder why they didn't, actually. Did you... Did
ah,
you...
I know why they didn't.
You think she might have given in?
No. You only had to see Mrs. Bankhurst.
Very frail, you mean?
No, so majestic.
I see, she just would...
Such a personality, you couldn't.
Yes.
So dignified, you couldn't.
That's interesting, yes.
The
yes.
one that they couldn't forcibly feed.
Yes. Did they forcibly feed Christabel, actually? I don't know.
Oh, no, she didn't risk it. Bless me, no.
She
was in Paris by the time all that was happening.
Yes, yes. Yes. One of the interesting things, of course, will be when they let... they get the reports of how the prisoners behaved in public. I mean, at the moment, they're all secret, you see. They're locked up for 100 years.
Yes.
But there were reports on all the individual suffragettes in prison.
Interesting.
And, it would be very interesting when they're released.
So they had a film, a sort of television recapitulation of the suffrage movement some years ago on the BBC. And we went down to Lime Grove and did it. And Charlie Marsh, who was one of the most golden-haired and beautiful, the one who always rode a horse in the processions, somebody asked her how many times she was forcibly fed. Because in those days, it was a very painful proceeding.
Yes, yes.
And she said quite calmly, oh, I think 7 times or 17 times, I forget which. And you could hear from the engineers at the thought of it.
Yes, I thought that was one of the good things in Shoulder to Shoulder, actually. They got... I mean, it was really a horrifying sight, the forcible feeding.
Yes, it was.
It was very well done, I thought.
It's horrifying.
I'd be very interested, I mean, do let me know if you disagree strongly or even agree with what I wrote in the Times. I'd just be interested
to
know your impact. It was last Saturday, actually, yes. In the centre page.
I gave up taking the Times and took to the Daily Telegraph.
Yes, I think, if I may say so, you've made a mistake, Lady Stuxnet, to go back to the Times.
Yes.
It's a good paper, the Times, really.
Well, and it's of course, my age group dies in it.
Does it? Yes. That's,
well,
there's
too many people die in the Daily Telegraph. I can't count them.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, the Times isn't as good as it was, I think, but it's...
No, of course, the Daily Telegraph is, after all, an independent paper. Mm. The Times is part of the Thompson Empire.
Yes, but Thompson doesn't interfere very much, does he?
I don't know.
I don't think he does.
No, I don't think he does. The Times is rather Catholic.
Mm.
And shows it from time to time.
Yes, there are lots of stuff on the Pope, I agree.
Yes, but the Times annoyed me very much because they printed a middle article about the bomb outrages in London.
Oh, yes.
And it was